Welcome back to another edition of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Tarkowski. We're getting close to the end of our year-long tour throughout the Commonwealth to visit each of Pennsylvania's 24 state correctional institutions. Today, we'll hear from a longtime employee of SCI Laurel Highlands. Facility Maintenance Manager Michael Kubik will be along to tell us about the institution's specialized mission, focusing on older inmates and those with special needs. First, we'll head to SCI Green and visit with its relatively new superintendent, Randy Evans, joined by Deputy Superintendent Mark D'Alessandro. SCI Green is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. Superintendent Evans, we'll start with you. Can you give us a rundown of how those first 30 years have gone and any of the major changes you've experienced?
Well, that's part of the reason why I brought the deputy with me. It's kind of difficult for me to gauge how the 30 years went. I actually was appointed superintendent here in May of 2024. So 6 months or so that I've been here. I can speak for the 6 months that I've been here that, you know, it's been a really good experience. It's a really good facility. They've kind of taken me in and, you know, allowed me to be one of them. And, you know, I couldn't be any more appreciative than that. But I think the deputy might want to speak a little bit about the larger history over the years.
All right. We'll get back to Superintendent Evans is career path to get to where they are. But before we kick it to you, Deputy, can you tell us how long have you been at Green and what was your path to get where you are today?
I've been at Green for 24 years. I actually started at SCI Greensburg in 1996 as a contract employee. And then I was hired by the state in 2000 as a counselor. And I've worked my way up through the ranks and currently the DSCS.
20 plus years that you've been on the job at Green. Maybe you're the better person to talk about the history in the first 30 years.
Yeah, when I came here, I was a counselor assigned to the RHU. And just in contrast, we had 500 cells that were designated RHU, and it wasn't enough space. So we had to convert Echo Bravo unit into a long-term AC pod, which was an additional 120 cells, give or take, that to accommodate all of the L5 housing that was here. Included in that original housing, we had a dedicated capital case unit that is four pods prototypical. We are a prototypical facility. And currently, we only have one housing unit that is your traditional AC-DC housing unit. So that's a big difference over the years, how things have changed. And the prior units have all been repurposed to include one of them, which is F unit, which was once our intake into the RHU, and it's currently a PV reception unit. And at the time, it was all single cell because all of our RHU cells at Green were single cell. We had no double RHU cells. And now F unit is a PV unit, and it's connected to what happens at Smithfield, and then they come to us for the ACT 122. And all of those cells have since been double-celled. So that population doubled, and it went from an L5 population to a GP population. That's a significant change in, you know, over the course of time.
And was that change kind of spurred? I know they call that the pendulum that kind of swings back and forth between rehabilitation and punishment. And I think in the late 90s, early 2000s, we were kind of more on that punishment side of things. Like you said, the RHU population and the level 5 population that was so high. Is the reason that is kind of lowered because of that change more back to a rehabilitative, or was it something different?
No, I believe it's connected to that because we were designated as a D-roster facility. And prior to that, if guys were sent here from other institutions, it wasn't necessarily because of their sentence structure or their crime. It was because of their adjustment while in prison. And Green was designated as the last stop. Since that time, we were designated as a mental health facility. We're a D-roster facility. We have an SRTU. We have two pods of DTU. We have an RTU. We have always had a SNU, but we also have the SNU. And then in lieu of the capital case inmates, we currently have an IMU and an MCU as well.
And those, a lot of acronyms are thrown around there, but the IMU, Intensive Management Unit, some of the more restrictive housing units that we have in the system.
Yeah, and that population is considerably lower than what it would have been in the past.
I want to kick it back over to Superintendent Evans. Can you tell us about your career path? I know you've less than a year now at Green, but what got you to where you are now?
Well, I'll start from the beginning. I started as a corrections officer trainee in 1999 at SCI Smithfield, and I worked there for just about 7 years. I was an officer and a sergeant at Smithfield. In 2007, I interviewed at SCI Camp Hill for a lieutenant's position, was selected, and off to Camp Hill I went. And all in all, I was a lieutenant for 6 years, worked all of the lieutenant posts, all of the shifts. Lieutenant was probably my most versatile role, if you will. I was an acting captain during that six-year period twice, once for 6 months and another time for 5 months. And I also sandwiched in 20 months at the Bureau of Investigations and Intelligence before I got promoted to captain at Camp Hill in 2013. I was a captain there at Camp Hill for a total of 7 years. Two of those as a shift commander, five as the intelligence gathering captain. In 2020, I was appointed to Major of the Guard there. 2023, I was appointed to Deputy Superintendent for Facilities Management at Camp Hill. And then this past May, 2024, I was appointed as the Superintendent of SCI Green. So that's kind of my background of, you know, how I came up through the corrections officer ranks.
So why corrections? What keeps you coming back every day? That's a long and multifaceted career, a lot of different stops along the way. What brings you back to corrections day in and day out?
As much as I like to say how I lean way introvert, I like dealing with people. I like coming in here and seeing the folks every day, the staff, the inmates. I just, when I look back on the last 25 years, you know, and how fast it's went, but I'm really not sure if I would have done anything else. And if I had to do it all over again, I would.
I want to get back more to your facility, SCI Green. I know the PCI garment shop. What can you tell me about that? What do they make? Who's it for?
Yeah, RCI garment shop. They employ about 65 inmates. They have three staff in there. Two of those staff are foremen and they have a supervisor. I would like to note that out of the approximately 65 inmates, 20 of those are serving life sentences. Obviously, their goal is to teach the inmates how to work or a trade, you know, that they can use out in society once they're released. In there, they're trained on, you know, various different machinery and production techniques. Some of the inmates work in the office. Maybe they know a little bit more about computers than others, but they also, you know, run the sewing machines. They work on them. There's a CAD machine in there that cuts out the material for, you know, different patterns. They also have inspectors, janitors, you know, shipping clerks, you know, all of those roles combined, you know, are vital for the entire operation.
Sounds like it's everything you would need to run an actual business.
Correct. Now, some of the stuff that they produce here at Green, inmate clothing, they produce their release jeans and jackets. They also do inmate sweatpants, sweatshirts, shorts, jumpsuits for inmate visits, laundry bags, and they also add the patches to the staff ball caps.
You mentioned the population of life-sentenced inmates that are working in the garment shop. Why is it important for folks that are not going to get out to learn those skills and have the jobs within the facility?
A lot of our lifers are stabilizers in our population, and it's the highest-paying job in the facility. And they can translate that income into, you know, supporting their families out on the outside. In addition to that, there's a lot of PCRAs that are out there and some potential for resentencing. So there's always the possibility that some of these guys, and in fact, they do. We've had situations here where capital cases have converted to life, have converted to getting paroled. So we never want to not continue to rehabilitate, whether they're projected to leave the facility or not.
That's the voice of Deputy Superintendent for Centralized Services, Mark D'Alessandro. Mark, I want to talk about your job a little bit more. The Deputy for Centralized Services, what are your responsibilities?
I oversee medical, dietary, religion, psychology, all the supportive services that you would find in a facility.
Okay, so I think a lot of times people might not understand the breadth and depth of services offered at a state correctional institution. What are some of the things that folks are most surprised about when you're talking about your job, just maybe, you know, at dinner with friends and family that might not know the ins and outs of a life in the Department of Corrections? What are they most surprised about your job?
I think the rehabilitative efforts, and, you know, I'm particularly proud of the rapport we have with the community in this facility. We have WVU that comes in and does an inside out program. We have School of Law from University of Pittsburgh. They come in and do a separate inside out program. Both of those programs have springboarded into other avenues that are beneficial to not only the population that is residing here, but also to the outward community. And those are things that are unique to Greene. We have an MOU in place between Waynesburg University, which is right down the road, WVU, and SCI Greene, Department of Corrections. And that's relative to potential for an associate's degree program for some of the inmates that are housed here. It's not everybody, but there's a select few that are eligible for that. And all of those inside outs springboard into other volunteers coming in, and we try to groom volunteers from the community. We have a PD Greene organization that comes in and does some tutoring. We do college bound tutoring. We do literacy tutoring to get guys prepped for entry into just your basic GED education. Some of our population is pretty low functioning in terms of their reading level, and we use a literacy program that is certified program, and then they have individual tutoring, and when they're brought up to speed, we enroll them into class, and you'll see an uptick in our GED numbers and things like that. So those are things that people out in the real world, so to speak, kind of find to be interesting, refreshing. Our vocational programs, we have the typical HVAC, we have a building trades program, we have a business ed classroom as well.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder there. My next question, you talked about the educational opportunities with partners like WVU. What should folks know about the vocational opportunities at SCI Greene?
Well, we do have the HVAC, and we have the building trades.
If somebody goes through that program, what do they leave with?
They can actually be working out in the community with an HVAC certified technician out in the community. So it's also true for electricians, carpenters, masonry. They have journeyman hours that are tracked. Our maintenance department has the trades instructors. Those hours are tracked, and those hours translate into shop hours if they want to get into a union shop when they leave the community. That should be true in all facilities. I know we do that here. So once they pass the basic OSHA stuff and they got their prerequisite high school diploma, GED equivalent, and then they do the classroom work, then they can go out onto a work crew within our maintenance department, collect those journeyman hours, and it helps for employability once they do get out of the prison.
You mentioned the instructors and the educators that you have there. I want to talk a little bit more about the staff. Maybe Superintendent Evans, you can take this one. What is the staff culture like at Greene? How do they give back to the community? What's it like working at SCI Greene?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, it's been a wonderful experience so far. One of the things that I observed is, you know, being a rural jail, very tight knit. They're like family here. They certainly look out for one another. They certainly care about one another. When, you know, unfortunate incidents happen, you can tell that, you know, staff care. I know that our employee association and, you know, other entities have done some fundraisers, you know, and those types of things. We just finished up with our SECA campaign, so I'm anxious to, you know, see what those numbers look like compared to, you know, previous years. I know our SECA coordinator was in there, you know, beating the drum, and all of us, the administrative staff, you know, when we were doing our tours, we're talking to staff and, you know, the importance and trying to encourage them to give. But, you know, overall, like I said, it's a really tight-knit family, you know, here at Greene.
Thanks to Superintendent Evans and Deputy D. Alessandro at SCI Greene. Now let's head 2 counties east to SCI Laurel Highlands and our conversation with Facility Maintenance Manager Michael Kubek. SCI Laurel Highlands opened in the 1990s, but it's not a prototypical facility. Can you tell us about the origin of Laurel Highlands?
The origin of this facility actually dates back to 1846. It was a farm here, and the Somerset County Commissioners purchased the farm, and they put it on a ballot for a referendum vote to establish a poorhouse and house of employment. So in the fall of 1846, that was established here. And what that was, it was a house where people could go that had no money, had no family, had nothing really. And they fell on hard times in their life. They could come here and they were taken care of. As time went on, we come to about October of 1898, and they decided to build a county hospital for the insane. So the county actually ran this hospital along with the poorhouse. That went on until June of 1941, and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania then took it over as Somerset State Hospital. So then it was fully a mental institution at that point. The state hospital constructed most of the buildings that are here today that we're using today, and in July of 1996, it was turned over to the Department of Corrections and opened as SCI Laurel Highlands.
Now, SCI Laurel Highlands does have that unique role. It serves as a facility for our geriatric inmates, older inmates, or folks that might have special medical needs that can't be met at a typical facility. Did the beginnings of the facility as a hospital kind of play a role into the mission it has today?
Yes, it did considerably, because a lot of the employees that were here at the state hospital stayed here when the Department of Corrections took over. So transitioning from mental patients to inmates was a little bit of a different, you know, transition for them, but they were already accustomed to taking care of people and, you know, caring for medical needs. So that was an easy transition for those employees.
Let's fast forward about that and talk about your specialized mission today. Can you tell us a little bit about how your facility focuses on that special needs population?
Yeah, so at this time we have approximately 300 medical inmates here. Those range from, you know, from inmates that need minor medical care up to very extensive medical care. You know, we have one of the largest geriatric prison populations. We have one of the largest dialysis units in the country here in the prison system. So, you know, we have a large dialysis unit here with a lot of these inmates that need dialysis. Virtually all of our medical care is done here on site. You know, some procedures that we can't do, obviously, are taken to the local hospitals, but most of the medical care is done here on site. We have a hospice unit here for end of life care, because some of those inmates, you know, are in bad shape. They're approaching their end of life, so we have the hospice unit for them. And we use other inmates here in that hospice unit to assist caring for those inmates. We have a state-of-the-art wound care team here, because coming along with the geriatric patients and a lot of bedridden inmates need some wound care, so we do have that here also. And we have a complete personal care unit here. It's completely handicap accessible with 24-hour medical care, and it has about 150 inmates in it right now. So similar to a nursing home, it's a nursing home for inmates.
I want to touch on the dialysis that you mentioned. Why is it important for these kind of procedures that we can do inside SCI Laurel Highlands to be done there instead of going out to a hospital?
Well, it's a huge cost savings, because to transport some of these inmates to the hospital would require a lot of security, you know, a lot of employees just simply to transport them back and forth, and then the cost to pay for that dialysis. So if we can do that here on site, you know, we have the security people here on site. We're not transporting inmates. It's a much, you know, much more secure environment, especially for the community. There's no risk of any inmate, you know, getting out or getting anything involved in anything they shouldn't be.
And I imagine it's easier on the inmate slash patient as well, not doing that travel every time.
Correct. It is, because a lot of those inmates are housed in the building where dialysis is done. So, you know, they don't have to leave that building. The other inmates that are in a little better shape, that are able to walk around or able to leave the buildings, they're housed in other buildings, you know, and they just simply have to walk up to the dialysis unit to get their dialysis.
One other thing that you mentioned, I want to go back to, you mentioned the inmates that serve on the hospice unit or in that area. Now, we know that inmates aren't providing medical care for other inmates, but what kind of service, what kind of job is that?
More or less just companionship for those end of life people. You know, they need somebody to talk to. They need somebody really to sit with them, because when you think about it, they have no family in here. You know, a person that would be in a hospice unit outside of the prison would have their family around them. And these inmates that are dying, it's the only people they have to talk to. You know, it works out well for them.
I'd imagine that kind of job and that kind of experience makes a difference in the lives of the folks that are the inmates that are working on that unit. Have you heard any feedback from them?
Yeah, you know, they're happy to do what they do. I mean, it makes them feel that they have some kind of purpose here. You know, they're just not sitting doing their time. They're actually making a difference in somebody's life, or, you know, it's helping the inmate's family that's dying, knowing that somebody's there. And, you know, those people feel like they have a use.
The voice you're hearing is that of Michael Kubek. He's a facility maintenance manager at SCI Laurel Highlands. I want to ask you about your position. How long have you been with the DOC, and how did you get to where you are now?
So I'm here approximately 24 years. I started at SCI Somerset for a short period of time as a limited term electrical trade instructor. Then I came here to Laurel Highlands as a full-time electrical trade instructor, and I moved to the maintenance manager position approximately 10 years ago.
It's quite a career with the DOC. I want to touch on the staff culture at SEI Laurel Highlands. You've seen folks come and go over your long career. You mentioned the inmates that work with the hospice patients. Is there a different kind of staff culture from SEI Laurel Highlands from maybe a typical state correctional institution?
Yes, there is, because the staff is focused here on the specialized care of the medical inmates. Most prisons, inmates go to the medical department when they need to be seen, or they're sick, or they have a medical problem. Here, medical is on site in the housing units. So it's a little bit different, because the medical staff is actually on site at the housing unit, so they can care for those inmates right there. So because of that, you know, the staff here all work well together, because we have a very large medical department here, and also a security department. So the security and medical people have to work together because there is a lot of one-on-one interaction with these inmates, simply due to the situation that some of these inmates have, you know, where they need a lot of medical care, but they also need security too. So there's a lot of one-on-one here that you don't have in a typical prison setting.
You mentioned starting your career at SCI Somerset. You guys are neighbors down there in southwestern PA. What was the biggest surprise for you coming from one facility to another?
Well, I think the medical department was, because, you know, over at SCI Somerset, that's a prototypical prison. So when I came here, these buildings are all arranged different. This is more of a hospital setting. And, you know, the type of inmates that are here, you know, it's sort of a wake up call, because you don't typically think of inmates in a prison being like bedridden or, you know, on life support machines. And when you come here and see that, it's quite different. You know, that's not a typical setting. So that was the big difference for me coming from Somerset to here.
The unique mission, medical focused mission of SCI Laurel Highlands, certainly sets you guys apart from other facilities in our system. But much like SCI Chester, you're literally right in the heart of your community, not in some far flung area like some other of our jails. What is the relationship like with the local community?
We have a very good relationship here. So as I said in the beginning, with the history of the facility's been here for 178 years. So it's nothing new to this community. And, you know, it's always been some type of a medical facility. So we do have a good relationship with the local hospital here. They do a lot of care for our inmates that we're not able to do. We take them to the local community hospital. And we work very well with the local government here, such as the Somerset Borough and Somerset Township. We do share some services with them from time to time. Like if we need something, for instance, we get a broken water line and we need some parts off the borough, they're more than happy to come here and help us with that. And then likewise, you know, we return that favor to them. Many of our employees here are also residents of the community. So, you know, they work in the community that they live in here. And then, you know, we also have the community work program here, where the inmates complete a lot of projects in town here for the fire departments, the local governments, churches and other nonprofit organizations. So we do have a, you know, a good working relationship with the community here.
And I want to be able to touch on the staff for a second before we let you go. We talked about folks that work in hospice before. It takes a special kind of person to work in that environment to guide people through some of the hardest times of their life at the end stage of life. We talk all the time about it takes a special person to work in corrections and come into that environment every day. What is the staff culture like? How do you guys all work together? You touched on a little bit about with the medical working hand in hand with the security staff, but is there anything else that we can expand on?
Well, yeah, I would say, you know, even the maintenance department here, because, you know, I haven't worked in any other department here, obviously, than maintenance, but, you know, I've worked with these other departments. And, you know, even our department here is specialized because, we have to work around a lot of these medical patients. So, you know, we have to move these inmates around when we need to work in those areas, you know, and it's not easily done. And in a normal prison, you know, the inmates can move themselves around. Where here, we need some staff members to move all these around. So, yeah, so, you know, not only just the medical and security department, but also maintenance here. And then, you know, we have a pretty big education department also that does work with some of these elderly inmates.
I wanted to ask you about that because the special mission of SCI Laurel Highlands is for the geriatric or special needs inmates, but you also have typical, for lack of a better word, inmates in your facility, just like any other jail. Can you talk about any of the vocational educational opportunities that are available at Laurel Highlands?
Yeah. So we just recently started a horticulture program here. So they're actually in the process of constructing a small greenhouse here. In the beginning stages of that program. But some of the other stuff that we've had for a while here, we have OSHA training. So it gets these inmates ready to be out in industry. We have flagger training. So they can, that provides them a job doing flagging on the highways. We have an NCCER class, which is the National Center for Construction Education and Research. So we train a lot of these inmates in construction. We have a green environment program, teaching them about recycling, energy conservation. We have a cosmetology program here. We have various business classes, specifically like Microsoft Excel, Word, teaches them how to operate these office-based programs. And then for the, a lot of the older population, we do have adult basic education. And then for inmates that have not got a high school diploma, we have a GED here also.
Well, if there was any question as to how well the staff work together at SCI Laurel Highlands, when the facility maintenance manager can talk about the educational and vocational programs available at the facility, you know staff works together well. Before we let you out of here, 24 years of service to the DOC, what keeps you coming back? What's your favorite part of the job?
I think, when I was in the electric shop, I supervised some inmates here. And, it was always a good thing to see because this facility being specialized with the non-medical inmates, we have a lot of programs here for drug and alcohol rehabilitation and that. And one of the things that always kept me coming to work was seeing that these inmates are getting out in a short period of time, and hoping that I made a difference to them so that they can be a productive member of society. The people that are working for me are now doing what I used to do. So I guess in a sense, I'm still doing the same thing, except I'm only supervising those people now. But, our job here is to make these inmates productive members of society. And that's what I think keeps us all coming here to work.
And what's next for SCI Laurel Highlands? What's on the horizon for 2025 and beyond?
We're always constantly doing updates to these buildings because of the medical facility. We have to keep with the latest technology here. And so construction never stops at this facility. We've done construction for the last 24 years since I've been here. So, that's going to continue also. Two other things. We also, like some of the other prisons, we do have a canine program here. We call it Canine Partners for Life. And, that's the inmates training these service dogs. They do the initial training with the service dogs. And, these dogs live with the inmates. If they go to work with the inmates, they do everything. And, they try to get them accustomed to being out in society and in, around jobs and around all that kind of stuff. We also have a cogeneration plant here. So we generate all of our facility electricity and steam from landfill gas from a landfill 5 miles up the road. So our utility costs here are very low due to having this plant. And, you know, that's quite an asset here.
Is that something that's unique in our line of work? Do you know of any other facilities? Because that's amazing to me.
No, there's no other prison in Pennsylvania that does this. So we are definitely unique with this. And, you know, this is a huge deal with the environmental, because we're taking this landfill gas that would just be burned off and have no use to it, and we're actually using it here to run this facility. So, you know, it's a win situation, both environmentally and cost-wise, for our utility costs here.
And that is something that I don't think I've ever seen an email come through up through the chain that says there's problems with it or you're having issues. It seems like it always just works. How do you guys keep it online all the time?
Well, there's a lot of work in that plant, even though it's new, you know, because of the nature of landfill gas and everything, there's a lot of upkeep to that. So yes, we do have problems. It's not without problems, but our staff here is able to handle most of that. So, you know, we have a pretty good maintenance and mechanical staff here that keeps that plant in good order.
Thanks again to all of our guests on this month's edition of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. We'll wrap up our trip around the Commonwealth in December with another edition posted on the last Wednesday of the month. For more DOC content, check us out at Corrections PA on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. On behalf of executive producer Kurt Bope, thank you for listening. Until next time.